This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, Monty Harris, where's this been?
Yeah, he needed that.
Boy, oh boy, Michael Money Harris was in a slump, for those of you who don't know, and he came up big last night with a tying double in the ninth. It goes to extras, and then Ozuna from the Braves comes through with the single. And the game winner, man. And look, we're not banging on Money Harris. He's terrific. He's one of our favorite players. He's been on this show numerous times. But I just think, Mike, we've talked a lot about everybody else. He's one of the guys that we're counting on. And I think he was in a 1-for-22 kind of slump heading into this, you know, at bat. And then he comes up big. And he said afterwards, we'll let you hear more of what he said. But basically, look, you know, we needed it. And I needed it. So he's a guy that's got to come along as well.
Yeah, man, he's 2-for-19 for the month. It's a short month, of course. But 2-for-19 since the Dodgers rolled into town last week. So, yeah, you're right. He did need that. And it's just something we've talked about. I mean, unfortunately, he's not a leadoff hitter. I think everyone kind of accepts it, that he's just better off in his role at the bottom part of the lineup. And that's fine, because you can have a career doing that. Mm. But, and again, stealing some bases. You know me, I always want to see a little more action. Give me some action on the base pads with a guy that can burn like that. But that was huge. And then, yeah, Ozuna. I mean, again, the fact that they walked to get to Ozuna, you know, he was raring to go and just teed off on some stuff up in his own.
Mike, I would have walked Riley, too. He's hot, man.
And the thing is, I just felt bad. I mean, well, you know, crocodile tears. The dude for the Reds, they just called up from the minor leagues, and it's like, okay, meet, get out there, nuke Lelouch, you know, and see what you can bring. And in the case, unfortunately, for Richardson, his loss, our gain, it was a tough situation to be in. But, yeah, Braves pull it out 2-1. And I was tweeting last night. I'm like, how many freaking guys are we going to leave on base? They actually left 11 men on base last night. And Ozzy was a culprit a number of times, and a lot of the usual suspects. Matt Olson was a culprit, but it mattered most, and Ozuna got it done.
All right. The other part of this last night is we talk about our Braves. They're winning. It's a 3-game streak, guys. And look, all the talk about the 0-7 start is way behind us now. We're in the mix. We've gotten back in this thing. We're going to have to continue to win series. But, again, you're handling business the way you should. That is the other part of this conversation is Iglesias. And I said to Mike the other day, you know, he's teetering on the edge. There are times where you're a little bit afraid of him going out and finishing a game. Last night, I thought he was brilliant. And his last two outings, Mike, he's been really good. 7 pitches last night, 2 strikeouts, a hitless inning. And I only say that to say, do you think that the fact the way we started the season, where he wasn't getting outings, he wasn't getting any run, they weren't throwing him out there because we didn't have any leads, affected how he started the season, Mike? Do you think now he's finally catching his groove?
I guess he's into a rhythm because, as we said, there just were no games to close. There were no games that he could be in. So, you know, his usage rate, nerd, was not up there. And perhaps maybe that's why. You know, the team is now, it's just, we said, a game under 500. 2021, it took forever to get to 500. So it's then not how you start, it's how you finish. But you're right. When it comes to Iglesias, you know, he's just one of those guys that just, you know, there's some closers out there going all the way back to Mitch Williams with the Phillies. They just make you nervous. You know, it's just you have to deal with it. It's part of the equation. Nobody is truly dominant. You know me, and you and I have had this conversation a million times. I just have to accept that, some guys are not going to be Mariano Rivera because there's only one of those. Will Smith was that guy. Will Smith drove us freaking crazy.
He did.
If you remember him, even in the year they won the World Series. So it's just, you deal with it.
Yeah, and that was the year we traded for basically two closers, and then one guy became a setup.
But... And Will, just like Iglesias, didn't have, knockout stuff.
No.
He had to do it with guile.
Totally agree. Day-Day, let's put up a poll, man. I'm curious for Braves fans. What's been the most pleasant surprise right now? Is it Verdugo? Is it a guy Mike and I have been talking about? Is it Eli White? What do you think about the other part of this rotation, guys, when you talk about how we've gotten production from Bryce Elder and Grant Holmes and A.J. Smith-Sharver? Day-Day, let's put that up at Dukes and Bell 929. I'm curious, Braves fans, what you think. And, Mike, you said to me the other day, I think it was yesterday we were talking about this, Nick Allen. What do you think about Nick Allen, man? I mean, acquired in a trade that we were all kind of like, eh. But when you look at his shortstop duties, he's been pretty good so far. And again, I know this is something you talked about with Arcia and not being pleased with his overall hitting. But I've said to you guys, look, if the rest of the lineup is hitting, I don't need Arcia to hit 300. But Nick Allen has stepped in and done a really good job so far for the Braves.
Yeah, man, and again, it's funny how things kind of have a way of, certainly Alex Anthopoulos has a way of finding the diamonds in the rough, because again, who even knew who this guy was, right, if you're a Braves fan? But he's been money. We've talked about how good he is fielding. Now, certainly, the bat, he's struggling right now. He's in a little bit of a rough patch. He's at 264 after last night. But if you look at his fielding, and again, wins above replacement and all that stuff, he is definitely as good without the arm strength, but certainly as good with the range as Arcia.
All right, guys. And for me, the pleasant surprise right now is just these other guys in this rotation. I mean, for you, it may be Nick Allen or Eli White. It may be something else. But this is what you need when you've got a couple of stars out. Right. In Strider and Acuna.
And Sale's back. He didn't get the dub last night because, again, they left all those guys on base. But Sale is back in the rhythm. You see it.
Yeah, you need that from those guys. All right, plenty more Braves conversation. I do want you to hear from Michael Money Harris, as we mentioned to start the show. Big hit last night, that tying double in the ninth inning. And Money was talking about, being clutch. And this gets confidence begets confidence, guys. I come up, I get a big hit. Next time I'm up, I'm going to have more confidence I can get it done, not being in a slump, not being in an 0-for situation. Here's Money Harris.
It gives me a lot. I guess early in the game, I was a little tense, and those last two at-bats, I kind of relaxed and really settled in and really trusted myself and got the barrel twice. So I was able to get a run out of one, and I guess you don't get a hit on every barrel you catch, but it just felt good to not really feel it off the barrel and just know that I put good contact on it.
Mike, why is he tense? Because he hadn't hit?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, he was scuffling. He had not been hitting at all since the Dodgers series started. And look, he's a streaky. Everybody on this team is kind of streaky. It's like that last year. That's why it was such a grind last year just to make the wild card. But I think, big moments like that give him some more confidence. So, yeah, hopefully that Schneid is over and he gets rolling. As I said, though, Matt Olson, I mean, how many times do you watch when I'm watching on FanDuel and it's like Olson or Albies are up with a runner in scoring position and it's like
nothing.
And you just feel like the at-bat's going to go nowhere. And I hate that because I love Albies. I'm lukewarm on Olson. I just, he puts up some great numbers, and boy, but he's so streaky. And man, he's like the definition of unclutch right now for this team.
That's a great point. We got plenty to dive into. Would love to hear from you at 404-726-0929. It is Dukes and Bell. Find Mike, guys, on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929. We have word now, and is it official, should I say, after last night's NBA playoff game, Steph Curry out at least a week. With a grade one hamstring strain is what they're saying.
Is one bad or two bad? I don't know.
Two is bad.
I don't know. So okay.
One is not as bad. And here's the thing. And look, I'm not an ortho guy or a doctor. He's in immaculate shape. He's not going to recover like Mike and I, okay? If we had a grade one strain, we'd be done for 3 months, okay?
You'd smell the Bengay as I came to work.
Correct.
From downstairs.
This is Steph Curry. Steph, let him cook. Steph Curry, the chef. He's going to be back, I think, sooner than later. But, Mike, if you're the Warriors, you still won last night. You don't have to rush him back now.
No, you already yes, you want to try to – if you can take two, take two. But you've accomplished the goal. You got the split on the road in Minneapolis. And, by the way, Anthony Edwards, stop working the refs. I was having, Trey flashbacks last night. Just get your head in the game. There's a couple of times where he's missing the other end of defense because he's busy yapping on the paint that he's shooting on. But I thought if you're the Timberwolves, shame on you. I mean, where's the killer instinct? I mean, I don't want to sound like, I'll say it. Some guys in this generation, soft as Charmin. I mean, go for the jugular. You got Steph Curry. I'll go right after these dudes. I mean, come on. I'm watching, and you know me, I'm pulling for Golden State in this one. But I'm like, come on, how are you letting them get away with what some of this stuff? Go and start smacking guys around. Gary Payne starts posting, pow, hit him in the head.
Mike, when your biggest guy has been in a chokehold by the opposing team's toughest player,
yeah.
I don't know if that matters or not.
It don't exist.
I don't know if – look, we can say it doesn't matter, but he had Rudy Gobert in a chokehold. I'm just saying, like, I agree with you. But, you know, everything that we say and, like, we're, the way we're thinking about things, because, again, that's our generation. That's why we appreciate the bad boys. Didn't like them.
Right.
But I appreciate how they went about their business. But everybody in the league was that way. No layups. We're not doing that. And it was felt like the wheel their wheel just got taken from them last night, even when Curry was out off the floor.
Now, I would imagine their coach is going to be ripping them a new one, but it's watching these guys, and I'm thinking, like, could you imagine? See, that's that for the guys, younger folks out there, do you subscribe to this theory? This is my dad's theory.
What's that?
That if it was Bill Russell, when Willis Reed comes hobbling out onto the Garden floor, so the first play in the paint, pow, Russell put him on his keys.
Take him out.
But Wilt Chamberlain didn't have that killer instinct. You know, Wilt's a rock star, one of the all-timers, but there's just that certain something that guys got to have in the playoffs, which, again, Minnesota may go on and win this series, but that first game, man, you got punked.
Yeah.
No Steph Curry, and you that's in your house. That's not in San Fran.
So he's going to miss probably three games. Two, we know he's out. Three and four, back in San Francisco, and then you see where he's at for game five. But guess what? If you handle business at home, Mike, you might be able to rest him. You know, even if you don't need him. So I'm going to say game six, he'll be back for sure, but game five might be up for question. And then it becomes, all right, can Jimmy Butler and company do enough? Well, if they play like they did last night, Mike, and I don't know if they'll do that again in game two. I think you're right. The T-Wolves are going to come out on fire and play with some motivation. But, yeah, I thought Ant-Man, and look, we love the kid. He's an Atlanta kid. We love him. I think he's going to be the face of the league, but he's only 23. And even with all the stuff he's already done, I feel like, Mike, these are the learning situations that you get in the playoffs where it's not going your way and ain't the refs' fault. Right. It's not the refs that you're going 0 for 8 or 0 for 9, whatever it is. You're not shooting the ball well. You got to figure it out.
But I'm just watching this game and I'm laughing because you and I were just talking about Joker looking like that guy you can't stop at the LA Fitness, you know, that lunch league. I mean, I'm laughing my ass off. I'm watching Pat Spencer bringing the ball up the floor and these guys. I'm like, for those who don't know, Pat Spencer's got the full mustache. I mean, he looks like a guy from a sitcom. You know what I mean? It looks like from something from Parks and Recreation, you know? Like Nick Offerman is bringing the ball up the floor. I'm like, how are you losing to these guys? And because of the injuries, Kerr goes 12 deep last night.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I got production. Got valuable minutes from all these regular dudes.
We are going to talk plenty about it. We'll let you hear Ant-Man on his struggles. Also, Jimmy Butler talking about stepping up with Curry out. But that is official. So if you are wondering and you're following these playoffs, Curry at least out a week. That's, to me, at least three games. 404-726-0929. We're coming back. We got plenty more to talk about. We watched him at Georgia. We thought he was going to be pretty good. But he's been a head case. Now he's headed to a new team. We'll get into it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to talk about why the Falcons were so comfortable in taking a guy that we have had questions about.
Were they too comfortable?
Well, look, he hasn't played a down for us. And some people think that maybe, you know, we're being too hard on this situation with James Pierce Jr. I keep getting guys sending me, you know, videos of guys who are touting his skill set. I'm aware. I'm not debating he's fast off the edge or that he may not be one of the potential best edge rushers in this draft. All of that is still yet to be determined. I'm not going to debate his skill set. What I am going to debate is, Mike, they cleared his off-the-field stuff a lot faster than they did some other folks. And
right.
Whether you want to believe that or not, that's part of the conversation we're going to get into with this comfortability that they had in drafting a guy like James Pierce Jr. That is on the way. Also, a little bit later on in the show, we told you we're going to continue to go around our division. Michael Kay, he writes for the Charlotte Observer, is going to join us to talk about the Carolina Panthers. Laugh if you want to. I think they might be putting something together. And here's the thing. Look, I don't think, Mike, they're going to get there faster than we do. But if they do, and they happen to get into the playoffs and we don't, you are really going to start scratching your head about what's going on here, right?
Yeah, well, again, there's going to be guys that are going to be fired. You're fired. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals where, look, we all know what's at stake. Everyone knows we haven't been in the playoffs since 17. And look, you know, I'm sorry. 5 years is an eternity in the NFL.
It is.
You know, so if you go back and you look, you know, at 21, you know, we all knew that there was some, you know, you gave him a slide or give him a little bit of a pass for Fontenot because of the cap situation. And that's part of the reason he was, you know, and he got the job is how he's good at finding, you know, diamonds in the rough and free agency and finding those pieces. That was part of his job description with the Saints. But then we get into this, and it's something, and I will say this, Carl, as much as I've, you know, been killing Fontenot, the more that I've been able to kind of peel the layers of the onion and by talking to like guys like D-Led and other folks around, some guys that, you know, work for the team off the record, so I can't give you names, but it just seems like he acquiesces or he maybe needs to be a little more, I don't know, less deferential. Should have told Arthur Smith, screw that noise with Kyle Pitts' pick. No way. I'm going to go with the sure thing. I'm going with Penei Sewell. That's a guy who'll be here for 12 or 15 years. That's a rock on the line. Done. You know, and the same thing goes, like, I got no problem with Drake London, but then if Terry wanted Kirk Cousins, no. We're going to go get Michael Penix. I think Penix is the future. We're not going to be able to get a good quarterback in this draft class. And by the way, we wouldn't, right? So I give him credit there.
Yeah.
This draft class was not the class for quarterback.
No.
You know, unless you would have been really in love with Shedeur Sanders. So that's a sorry subject for some. But it just, to me, you know, if he, I don't know, I'm not saying he's going to be more assertive, but I'm just kind of curious how these decisions get made in that dreaded, as you like always say, the collaboration or the collaborative effort between coach and GM.
So this is what's interesting, and we're going to dive into this in less than 10 minutes. But the Terry thing, I want to get back to that, all right? Remind me what you just said about Terry and these decisions, because we're going to come back to this and talk about this comfortable state that they were in and taking James Pierce Jr. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stay there for that conversation. Hey, my man Dom is with us, as we said, Big O and his beautiful wife having their second child. At some point, she's just waiting for this thing, and it hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. So Dom's hanging out with us. He's part of the family, and of course, Day Day is our executive producer. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
They traded up to get him. If you don't remember, or should I say they're trading him, but the Cowboys are giving up additional picks to get him, reverse that, scratch it. Here's the deal. Steelers are trading George Pickens. The Cowboys are giving up a third and a late-round swap, all right? Pickens was a second-round pick in 2022. And, Mike, how would you describe his tenure with the Steelers, George Pickens?
Tumultuous, you know. I mean, he's just immature. You know, is the light going to click on for him and he'll figure it out? No, I don't think so. I think you've seen enough of a sample size in four seasons that this is what he is. He's just an impetuous guy. And you put a guy like that in Dallas with all the media focus, good luck. Enjoy, because you're going to a team which hasn't established number one. You know, you probably wouldn't have coexisted with Metcalf making five times or six times what he's making right now.
Well, CD is too.
Right. See, that's what I'm saying. CD, you're going to an established guy. So I think it's going to be a strange situation. He does average one of the best, yards per catch, because for whatever reason, the quarterbacks they've had thrown it to him rarely get it. And when they do, though, it's a home run. So you hate to see that talent wasted. But, you know, as Mike Tomlin told him last year after, he's got to grow up. So they washed their hands of him. The only guy of all the crazy receivers who came through that had any glimpse of success was Antonio Brown, because he played with Tom Brady in the Super Bowl with a Bucs team that was loaded. Everybody else has flamed out. Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, all these other guys. Who is Chase Claypool? Mm-hmm. Bum, 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 bum. So I don't know where it goes for him in Dallas, but if Dak can stay healthy, maybe he'll have a reliable delivery system. Maybe he can turn it around.
Last year, guys, 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns. He did lead the league, as Mike mentioned, in that yards per catch, 18 a catch. But here's my issue, and this is why I would be concerned if I was Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, but obviously they're not. So do you guys remember the iBlack incident that happened where he had the iBlack on and it said blanking open all the time,
yep,
right, which ticked off his teammates and certainly his quarterbacks who were like, dude, relax, we're trying to score here and we're having a hard time. Then there was an incident, Mike, and multiple, where he got unsportsmanlike conduct flags and penalties. Some in week 13, he got into a post-game scuffle with the Browns' Greg Newsome.
That's right.
All this stuff is happening. Not over the course of 5 or 6 years. This is last year, okay? And then on top of that,
a team trying to make the playoffs going through a losing
streak.
Correct.
And on top of that, oh, by the way, do you guys remember? I don't know if you do. He showed up late on Christmas Day for the Kansas City game. This is the problem. And the Cowboys are going to ignore all of that, Mike, and say, well, yeah, we got this. No big deal. He'll be fine here. We will see how this shakes out. To Mike's point about Mike Tomlin, this was during the season when all of this stuff was going down and he was acting like an idiot on the field. This is Tomlin.
You just got to grow up, man. It's an emotional game, man. These divisional games are big. He got a target on his back because he's George. He understands that. But he's got to grow up. He's got to grow up in a hurry.
So his personality, you're not changing that. The on-the-field antics that hurt mm-hmm. you when your team is getting flags, Mike, you're putting us behind the down and distance.
Yes. It's just selfish. I mean, look, and look, Mike Tomlin, as we say all the time, if there was a guy that could have a PhD in dealing with like screwballs, it's Mike Tomlin with what he's had to do from Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown to present. So here's a team which is having a lot of issues. You're going to the quarterback situation, and you got a guy that's just, he's a sideshow. So Pittsburgh said, tremendous. And by the way, no one debates the talent. It's almost like when Pickens made a one-handed catch at practice at Georgia, it was almost like, uh-oh, here's an Odell Beckham moment. Now yep. He's starting to believe his own BS. You still got to put the work in, and you still got to have your head screwed on straight. So, look, he can always turn this around. It's him. He's got to look at the man in the mirror and just just do the work and shut up. Take it from me. I've learned sometimes just shut up and do the work. So hopefully for him it works in Dallas, but Pittsburgh, they say, vaya con Dios.
All right, guys, let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
It is our Braves, and I want you to hear how they won last night in dramatic fashion.
Verdugo out at second base, and they're going to go ahead and put Austin Riley on here to start the bottom of the 10th.
That's going to make the big bear angry.
Liner, it's fair! Verdugo's going to come home, and the big bear is the big hero tonight!
Base open, I understand the intention to walk, but that is a tough guy to come in that situation to try and get out, and he made him pay.
Can somebody tell me how many sunflower seeds he had in his mouth? After he gets this hit, he's trying to do the post-game interview. I'm like, dude, can you spit some of those sunflower seeds out of your mouth before, Marcel, you do the interview? They're just coming out everywhere.
I mean, it was like a Monty Python skit, And it was funny because that same night, the camera crew, the guys you work with at FanDuel, it was really great. They had Tito Francona, and you see him, and he's got all his Terry Francona, all of his sunflower seeds on the railing, and like boom, 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 boom. For those who've never been in a dugout or that close to see, baseball players, they love sunflower
they
seeds.
They do. The bags everywhere. But yeah. Marcel, a big hit for the Braves. They went 2-1 in extras, guys, 3 straight, and they'll try to make it 4 tonight. We'll talk more about it along the way. Let's get to story number 3.
Story number 3.
A few years ago, I'm in Indiana. Hawks are playing the Indiana Pacers. And I walk over to Lord Pierce, who's an assistant with their coaching staff, and I said, tell me about Tyrese Haliburton. So we sat down and we had a conversation. And he said to me 2 years ago, he's the most selfless guy on this team. He's loved, and he loves making guys better. Go look at his numbers. This whole overrated thing is just that. Haliburton can play, and I think people might got caught up because he went to the Olympics and he didn't get any run. Look at who he's playing with the Olympics.
Remember, guys, it's a smaller sample size. It's less than a quarter of the NBA players and these guys. Sometimes it comes down to like literally one or two guys just turn into a 9% or 10%, and that takes the vote. But I'm with you. I mean, Haliburton, I don't know what you guys were looking at, and the Olympic thing aside, this was superstar quality stuff. I mean, this is Michael Jordan beating the Cavs type stuff that he's doing here.
No doubt.
I mean, you know, getting the ball. I mean, when you shake the defender like that, and now you're on an island, and now it's literally, you know, here it is, here's the moment, and you make that shot. I mean, that's major attachments right there on Tyrese Haliburton.
As he walked down the back of the court and showed us as much. Here's the shot Mike's talking about. By the way, they were down. They shouldn't have won this game, and they literally stole another one.
4 seconds to go. Haliburton for three. Three ball up top. Indiana by one. 1:10 seconds to go. Inbound. Merrill didn't get it off. And this rivals the Milwaukee finish.
You have got to be kidding me.
Yeah, because it was a complete choke job
right by
the Cavaliers, who were up big in this game. And my man Dom just said it. How many did Donovan Mitchell have? 35? 33?
Yeah.
And they couldn't find a way to get it done.
And as you said, he's telling the crowd, shush, will you hush?
Wow.
Yeah, you said it. He's like, that, but the overrated, okay? Because he's kicking our ass, okay? But that's, and again.
Whoa. 48.
48 for Donovan Mitchell.
My bad, yes. Yeah. And he did not have, it's unbelievable. I thought it was 38. All right, either way, Mike, yeah, I'm sorry. That's crazy.
You take a game on the road. You know, that's usually the whole argument is, okay, you take one on the road, you get the split, and you're feeling good about yourself. But now, man, you're looking at this. Indiana is leading the series. They've swept two. They're in the driver's seat. And now the Pacers, you know, we've talked about the Pacers, you know, for years. They're kind of like what we aspire to be.
Yes.
You know, they're good in transition. They're like a taller, more athletic version of us. They're like what we would look like if we had Pascal Siakam. Right? Remember we couldn't get Pascal?
We wanted
What a difference maker. Tell me that wouldn't have helped us this year. You know, again, obviously Jalen Johnson on the floor too. But that's, to me, I look at them and I say they're just a taller version of us. Tyrese is a taller version of Trey, you know? So, and he gets in the paint too. He can do some of those things.
Great effort. Great ending last night if you missed it. Coming up later, we'll let you hear what Haliburton had to say and Rick Carlisle talking about the game winner. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. By the way, our daily download is brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. We're coming back. Mike posed a question. He asked about Terry being more assertive in some of this. And by the way, I do think he's making these picks now, okay? But when he got here, there was who's in charge, okay? That was some of that going on. And why were the Falcons so comfortable in taking James Pierce Jr.? We'll talk.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
About it next. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Why were the Falcons so comfortable in selecting James Pierce Jr.? Look, there's a lot of moving parts when we start talking about these draft picks. And, you know, we laid it out for you a little bit as we got into the draft. And I always say the combine is one part of it, right? The film's another part. The meetings are another part. But it doesn't make you sold on the entire player until you put all that stuff together. But the other part about this is the background. And when you start diving into guys' backgrounds, Mike, and you start saying, all right, this guy's clear. This guy, we might need to do a little bit more research.
Right.
That is the case with James Pierce Jr. They just didn't look at him and go, oh, tape's great. Combine's great. Meeting was great. They went into the background and they went, he's not clear. We need to do a little bit more extensive research. And they did. And I'm only saying that to tell you that they feel like they did enough extensive work and went beyond what they needed to feel comfortable in drafting him. And that is why they made the move to draft him. Regardless of what you think about whether we gave up too much, we've had that conversation. Mike, we're going to see. And look, that's going to play out, and it's going to be a part of this conversation. Either he exceeds expectations or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, then obviously everybody around the country is going to say, man, I can't believe the Falcons did what they did.
Right. And all I can go back to is, you know, I'm going to watch and see how Donovan Ezeraku does with the Cowboys. I mean, he's going to be using what? Zimmer's still the DC down there, and you're opposite Micah Parsons. So that goes into a good spot. And then there's, of course, Mike Green, who goes to a defense which needs some help, but is always a strong foundation. That's the Ravens. And, you know, Mike Green went all the way to, he fell all the way to the 59th pick in the second round. So the Falcons weren't the only guys that were scared off of Mike Green and the off-the-field stuff, which still no one can tell me what actually happened, either at UVA or whatever. But that one, because of the alleged some kind of sexual assault or misunderstanding, people just no way, not going to mess with it. Ezeraku, we love his size. You and I talked about it. Nobody saw him because he was on Boston College.
Yeah.
But you watched a couple of games where he's basically manhandling two defenders at the same time.
The beast.
On the line. But he's not as big or as fast as James Pierce Jr. So that's why they fall in love with the size. And remember, it was reported and it made the rounds, but one unnamed personnel guy, presumably a general manager, said, does Pierce love football? Is he passionate about it? Is he going to put the work in? And that was something which maybe was used to some teams scare them off. I don't know.
So Kyle Smith is our assistant general manager, and Josh Kendall quoted him in The Athletic about this, and I'm just going to read the quote to you as we talk about how comfortable they were, and then we'll get into this Terry drafting, you know, certain players as Mike was talking about earlier. But Kyle Smith said, if we were going into next year, this is how they viewed it, we would be hoping that a Jalen Walker or a James Pierce would be there next year. This year we are sitting there, and we've got an opportunity to take two players from this bucket. Understand, they've got different buckets. That's how they describe certain players, and both Jalen and James fell into bucket one, which is, we need to draft these guys. The second bucket is, okay, we can wait. If they're there, we'll see. And the third bucket is, we'll take a chance. The first bucket, he's saying, in this quote, we've got an opportunity to take two players from this bucket, and that's how they viewed it. Here's my thing with that, Mike. And look, I get it. You know, what you're telling us is you didn't feel like there were going to be impact edge rushers right, maybe again next year at this level that you would be able to get, just like they felt with Michael Penix. But I also think, Mike, if you're possibly losing your job, does it matter? Does it? If you're possibly losing your job and we're sitting here and I say, Mike, look, we screwed this up, bro. We're done. Let's just take a chance. Does it matter? And the only reason I ask right, that is because when we hear how comfortable you are and, oh, they're in this bucket, I'm not telling you Kyle Smith is wrong. I totally buy into what they're saying. But I also think the element that nobody wants to say is, I have a chance that I might lose my job by the end of the season. I don't give a damn. We're right, going to do this.
Now, again, and I said this to Carl the other day. I said, like, I respect their they were correct when they said, we'll go with Penix Jr. Now, just do one or the other. But they went with Penix Jr. because they felt that, hey, the quarterback class isn't deep, and we're not going to be picking very high. So that was good. But do you apply the same clairvoyance to think there's no edge rushers coming out next year's draft? I mean, that's the thing which I struggle with. That logic that, oh, Pierce Jr., he's so good that a lot of teams didn't have on the board. He's so good. I mean, this is the one part where I go, okay, that's a leap of faith. That there's not going to be any edge rushers you can take anywhere in the first. Well, so that's the rub on that move. And then we get back to the names we already mentioned. Green, Azaraku, other edge rushers that would have totally been there had we stand pat at 46.
Right.
So that was, and but again, watch their progress, watch our guys' progress. And guys, we're not rooting against Pierce. We're just talking about why people have had these conversations for some that the Falcons made a reach.
Yeah, and here's the other part. When you hear us say, I don't know about this one, maybe, I'm hesitant, you want to know why we feel that way. So when the Falcons are asked, hey, were you guys absolutely sure on him? And then they give us the reasoning. Mm-hmm. We're helping you to understand, hopefully, this is why they decided to draft him. They felt very comfortable. And look, I think the Penix pick is fine. I think it's going to work out for us. I don't know if this will, but they're saying he was in that bucket where they had to take him. And I am questioning, like, okay, my job's on the line. I just don't know how much I care about some of this other stuff that they're right. claiming that is a part of this process.
It is interesting, though, knowing that Jalen Walker was never supposed to fall to us at 15.
Correct.
And they were still fielding some calls because, to me, I just read that and the subsequent articles that have come out, they were going to draft. And they remember, Randy asked on the day after the draft, he asked Terry, and Terry really didn't give an answer. But Randy McMichael asked the question, were you going to draft Pierce at 15? Mm. And they kind of equivocated. They were going to draft Pierce at 15. And we would have really been chopping that up.
Well, it would have been a mistake. And I'm not going to back off of that. Because at that point, right. there's still too many impactful players, I believe, over him at that point. And we're not even talking about edge, Mike.
Right.
There are other players. Edge was a need. And that's why every time I hear, well, we're going to draft the best player, stop lying. You're drafting for need. We needed a quarterback. You drafted a quarterback. We needed edge rush. You drafted edge rush. So that is a nice thing to say, but at the end of the day, it's not the truth. So I would tell you if we did that, which we didn't, I would have been extremely hot about it simply because of everybody else that was on the board at that time.
Because Walter Nolan's a guy you and I were talking about on Thursday up at Mercedes-Benz. So, or even Shamar Stewart. Now, I know some people said Shamar Stewart was very sluggish statistically and don't know why he looked like, you know, Tarzan at the combine, but he played like a slug at A&M. But it is interesting. It just seems like, yeah, Pierce was the guy they had earmarked. Why? Because of the size and the speed. You hear that every time he's referenced, size and speed. And that's certainly the key because all the elites have got it, and he's taller than Azaraku. He's bigger than those other guys we mentioned. He's bigger than Mike Green. So that's why they locked in. Now we just got to hope this guy kicks ass because we cannot have a project. You draft a first rounder. That's impact, man. Impact.
It is. No doubt. 404-726-0929. Here's the other part of this conversation. You were talking about what is the word you use about Terry?
I mean, is he deferring? Is he acquiescing to this to his partners? Because we and you and me and I think a lot of our audience, Falcon fans, we used to literally laugh about this. Well, you know, and I'm not knocking Dimitroff. It is what it is. Him and Dan Quinn would work together, a collaborative effort. And there was a time back in the day where Rich McKay would have been a tiebreaker. Remember all that? So to me, it was like as a fan. Well, okay, I get it. You know, Bill Parcells' famous line: "If I'm going to make the dinner, let me pick the groceries." But at some point when you're drafting guys, it doesn't make sense like the Kyle Pitts because for where he was, and even if he balls out this year, it still didn't make sense. So that was one that because Arthur Smith got hired 3 days before Terry. I'd have loved to have been a fly on the wall in those conversations.
So I was going to say, Mike,
are you deferring to the coach?
Yeah, and look, I think we forget where we were. We needed offensive weapons. And our offense was simply being rebuilt at that time. Right. Arthur is an offensive coordinator who came in, and we were excited because we said, man, look what he did in Tennessee. Hopefully he can do that here. Now, again, the secret sauce there was what? Derrick Henry. We know that. But we also knew that, hey, we need some more offensive weapons. The Julio days are done.
Now,
right?
But Ridley was still on the team. Now, granted, in hindsight, we didn't realize Ridley was going to go off the rails with the gambling thing. But still, at the time, there's no way to validate the Kyle Pitts.
Well, look, I'm not trying to. You're asking about whether who had the power to come in and say this is what the direction we're going. What I'm telling you is we forget that we hired an offensive-minded head coach who wanted to come in and rebuild this offense, and that is why I believe that he had the decision on that.
Mm.
And Terry didn't push back because you know what? He's right. We do need offense. Now, the fact that we got the wrong guy, that's a whole other conversation. But we needed to start this process of where are the exciting weapons on this offense outside of Calvin Ridley? And then literally 6 months later, the Ridley thing happens.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm going back. And then you look at the Drake London draft. I mean, you needed it because that was the year after Ridley's, you know, you knew that Ridley's moving on. That ship has sailed. There's no problem there. I mean, unless, you know, you feel that wide receiver. See, this is the philosophical argument that I always have the problem with Dimitrov and Julio. Guys, Julio's legacy is secure. I'm just saying. You can win a Super Bowl going for edge rush, or you more teams win the Super Bowl getting the edge rusher than they do getting the wide receiver. You know, and so that's the argument, you know, because Thibodeau was there. I'm looking at some of the names. No, Thibodeau was gone. It was either offensive line, Charles Cross, and then it was either Garrett Wilson or Olave. I'm happy with Drake.
I think
all three of those guys can be successful.
Well, and again,
so, to me, it makes more sense there. Jameson Williams went as well.
But
so just
hand,
go with offense.
But their hand was forced.
You had to.
That, right. So that is different. And what we
that's nothing
know.
To do with Archer. That's a sound decision.
That's sound decision making. And remember, they knew before we did.
Right. But then we get to the 24 draft, and my beef is because 23, Bijan, now we understood. It was Jalen Carter or Bijan. Now, maybe they've never had Jalen on their chart for all the things that happened in Athens. We already know how Philly has built their machine, and Jalen is another cog that fits perfectly, and they go to work. And Jalen is a disruptor, and he's a force multiplier, and he's a rock star. And so is Bijan for what he does. So that's, you know, two things we always say, Carl. It doesn't have to be the zero sum, right? Winner, loser. Bijan has been a star. He's one of the top players in the league. So cool with that. But then, you know, my beef is, why did you do the Cousins thing? Was it because the coach had a relationship going back to the time with the then Redskins? Because if you believe, and you remember the conviction that Terry talked about day after we drafted Penix Jr.? And I even said, why don't you just go with Fields? And he's like, well, where's Fields now? How'd that work out? So, he, you know, they were not buying trading for Fields. So to me, you love Penix. Trust your. You got to tell coach, I'm going to get you some badasses on free agency, and we're going to go find our quarterback. And let's go spend that money on some proven edge rushers, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, if we got guys, you know, if who was it? Danelle Hunter was going to Houston, then we'll go get Grenard, okay? Well, there's other dudes we can get. That was my beef. So just, Terry, you've got to love yourself, stand up for yourself. Well, this time, hey, man. If he loves this guy, he definitely got the guy he wanted because he went all in.
Yeah, and it gets us back to, you know, doing all the extensive research. Here's the thing that I would tell you guys, and we won't know this until the season starts, and I hope you're calling us in week three and going, Dukes, he's legit. I don't know if he has the commitment to becoming the player he needs to be. That's it. I'm not worried about Jalen becoming that. He may not be an elite all-pro. Jalen's going to be all right. He's committed to becoming the player he needs to become. If he does, then, Mike, he'll be special. I don't know if Pierce is that. And that is me saying that based on what I've been told around the league coming from Tennessee and coming into this situation.
Right.
I hope he does. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, this is a no-brainer. That's my only concern.
Right. Cleet Holmes, a big listener of our show, and he was saying, you know, basically an issue that you and I were talking about earlier, that, you know, Terry, he feels, falls in love with the player.
Okay.
You know, and that's one. You know, the Broncos, by the way, are just about to go offer a multi-year contract to Nick Benito. And that's a guy that we could have had, but we took Troy Anderson. And Benito is a sack monster. You know, he's a guy that came from a big school, and we went for the guy that was a combine darling, that they felt that phrase. And nobody ever wants to cop to. That's why he wouldn't answer Randy's question, because it always feels like if a general manager says we really fell in love with the guy, it's you got it wrong. You're not supposed to. It should be objective.
It's crazy, man. Want to know what you Falcon fans think about this as we talk about where our team is. The reason why is Josh Kendall had a chance to speak with Kyle Smith. And he's our assistant general manager. And by the way, he came from the Bears. He's been a part of these decisions in the war room, guys. And, you know, it's not like he's just sitting there. So to hear him say, hey, here's our mindset. This is what we're thinking. It's coming from somebody other than Terry. And this helps us kind of understand, all right, great. We like our guys. We like who we got. But why did you feel so confident in going after that particular dude when all these other guys we had talked about and everybody around the league is saying, oh, I don't know about that. And they're saying, by the way, I love this too. I want to mention this, Mike. Kyle Smith said, we do not care about what others think outside of our doors.
Okay.
Quote. So.
And that's cool too.
It is.
But have the courage of your conviction, but this guy better be a rock star.
They felt the same way about Penix. They did not care what everybody else thought outside of Fiery Branch, and they did it.
And again, guys, if we wanted to quote, now again, you never could have known about the Shamar. You know, and maybe this is your Sanders thing, but either way, they felt they weren't going to be in a range to pick a quarterback, and we probably weren't. So we went with Penix Jr. I like Penix. We had that conversation yesterday. Wanting Penix to be the man and him being the man are two different things. But with all the weapons, I mean, you could argue that Penix Jr. steps into the season with a guy, Zach Robinson, more confident in his role as OC, and more weapons than you could argue Jaden Daniels had, for instance, up in Washington.
All right, we're coming back. We got plenty more to dive into. Fourth and one's on the way. Also, Chris Sale was amazing last night. This is the Chris Sale we've been waiting on. And he's kind of been working his way up to it, guys. ERA is down. We'll dive back into the Braves' win last night. Money Harris finally coming up with a big clutch hit, and I think this may be the start of something big for him. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.